Hi, I'm Laurie Handlers, your host of Tantra Cafe, and I'm coming to you this evening from Goa in India. Welcome to Tantra Cafe. You know, I like to start the show every week with explaining to people a little something about the show, and so tonight is not going to be any exception. The Tantra appetizer tonight that I'm going to talk about really is, once again, one of my favorite topics, Osho. And, you know, I've had a show before. I had a show once with Om Rupani where we talked about longing for Osho. That's because neither Om nor myself really ever lived with Osho. We heard about Osho. We read Osho. Of course, he was called Bhagwan Rajneesh in those days when we heard about him and we read about him. And then I was fortunate enough to have the experience of coming to India and going to the Osho Ashram, which is now called the Osho International Resort. And I had the experience of being there. I had the experience of being at the spot. But I never had the experience of Osho. And, you know, maybe you don't know. So let me just say, you know, Osho was a true, true tantric master. He was somebody who really taught people the way of tantra life, the path of tantra in their life, like living it. Not this funky stuff that people these days are teaching. You know, I always have to say something about this. This funky stuff where people are just teaching the sex. That's not what Osho was saying. He incorporated sex into his lessons. He felt that people were sexually repressed and they needed to go through that and express it and come out the other side. And so tonight I'm going to be speaking to you. I'm going to be interviewing somebody who lived in an Osho commune. He knew Osho. He lived the life that Osho designed, but also he still lives it. It's not like anything has changed. Even if Osho left the body in 1990, the person I'm interviewing this evening lives the life that he was called to in his insides by being called to be with Osho and be around Osho and be part of Osho and Osho be part of him. So tonight I'm going to be talking with a very special guest. And as I said, I'm here in Goa, in India, in the country of India. And I'm with my dear friend and person that I love, Cirrus. And let me just tell you a little something about him and then I'll bring him in and introduce him. I met Cirrus in 2006 at a resort, at a bed and breakfast hotel that he was running in Goa. And I had just come from Pune from being at the ashram. And here I was staying at this place. My guide at the time said, Laurie, you're going to meet these people, Cirrus and Shantana, and they're just like you. And I said, Amit, you don't even know what I'm like. How do you know they're just like me? And lo and behold, I was sitting at breakfast waiting for them to come. They showed up and Cirrus said, oh, you just came from the ashram. What part did you like the best? And I said, I loved whirling. And he was so moved by that, and he said, you know, I used to make the whirling music at the ashram. So that's all I'm going to tell you, because we're going to bring out a lot of this in our interview. So I'm just going to tell you that we met, and Amit was so right. They were people just like me, and I was people just like them, and it's been years now that we've been friends. So without further of my talking, it's my pleasure to introduce to you Cirrus. Cirrus, welcome to Tantra Cafe, my show.
Thank you very much.
It's such a pleasure to be here with you, to be making this recording from Goa.
It's a pleasure to be with you. It's such a gift that you came.
So I just told the listeners, you know, that you really live the Osho experience and you really lived the Osho experience, both then when Osho was alive in the body and now Osho is still alive, even though he left the body. So tell a little bit, how did you become interested in this life, in the life of being with Osho and the Osho lifestyle. And I know it's a long story, so tell us, you know, the key points.
You know, as I was finished with my studying in Germany, then I thought I become finally somebody. Then I went to my country, then revolution started, I came back, again in Germany, starting working with wife and everything, and working as an engineer. I was thinking, I had made it. Because the society says if you reach to some point, you have this and that, and this and that. I had my wife, my daughter, my house, my car, my best job. I was not happy. But I could not tell it to me, to myself, to be honest to myself, to tell, hey, you are not happy. You have so everything, but you are not happy. What is missing?
So, how did you tell it to yourself? What happened?
You know, the place I was living in Berlin just was 5 minute walk to Osho's ashram. I was living there since 3 years, but I didn't know about that. In one of my concerts in Berlin, one beautiful girl in red was sitting in just front row, listening to us. I became friend with this woman, and we had some affair together. One day I am with this woman in her place, and suddenly she says, oh, I have forgotten, I have to go to theater group.
What group?
Theater group. You know, theater.
Like theater?
Theater.
Yeah, okay. Good.
Theater group.
Yeah.
And I asked also, what is that? Theater group. So she said, you just come with me. I will take it you there. And we come and come. It goes closer to my house. Always closer to my house. Now my wife is living there. I am with a beautiful woman.
Oh, no.
She is bringing me in my own street. So, and at the corner, we came to a house. And in this moment, we entered and it was time that they closed the door. I was suddenly in an atmosphere which I was looking for my whole life, this smell, these people. It was so familiar to me, this place. Then we made some roles, everybody got some roles. We, at the end, we were all friends, these few people. And in that moment, I was like, I am going to find out what is this.
Mm. And this becomes an Osho group, or was an Osho theater group? Or?
Yeah, it was an Osho theater group in the Osho ashram. I didn't know that.
Wow, and it was 2 seconds from your house.
Yes, just at the corner I was living. So many years, I didn't know about that at all.
So totally unsuspecting, you, with this woman, march up to your, almost to your home, and close by is a theater group, and it's an Osho ashram, and boom, you're home. That's amazing. And it's just like inner guidance, moving you towards...
Not so easy. Normally, Osho has for people, they are open for him.
Yes, yes.
Certain methods... Everybody get his own method, which was for me, I did in that very day the Kundalini meditation for the first time. After that, I became so powerful after this 1 hour meditation. Then I was so amazed. Next morning, I wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I think the meditation is again at 7 o'clock, I have to go. I come in, but they are doing something else.
Dynamic.
I didn't know. I thought it was... Then the guy was running the meditation told me, it is first time. I say yes. And he said, just look what the other doing, you do also.
So you just followed along like a dance.
Yes. In that moment, the who part, the yeah. who part, then I was so excited that I was springing so high that this guy came and put me down and say, slow down.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that I had some pain in my back.
Yeah.
And in that moment, I am making this nerve becoming more injured.
Yes, so, yes, yes.
So next day, I stand up. I cannot move myself anymore. So that was the cause that I stayed 6 weeks in. I could not move anymore.
Like paralyzed.
Paralyzed.
Oh, but that's just terrible. You were rewarded and now you're paralyzed.
Yes. Because without that, I was not able and ready to do that what I did after that.
Yes, yes.
Because Osho told me, if you want to be yourself, you have to cut whatsoever is stopping you in
yeah,
your
you
life.
Cut the ties, everything.
Even he says, your daughter, it is going to come a lot of blood.
Mm.
It is painful.
Mm.
But if you don't cut it, and if you don't start to decide for your life, nothing is going to happen for you.
Yes. Well, let's stop there for a second and just backtrack a little, because there's a few things we covered which the listeners might not know. So one of the things you said earlier was you were in Berlin, but you said in your country they were having a revolution. So can we say that your original country is Iran?
Yes.
And you moved to Germany to work and to finish university and to do all
that? As I was from the 25, as I was 25 years old, I came for the first time out of Iran to study in Germany. So
you were an engineer. However,
yes.
Then you talked about being in a concert and you met this woman who was wearing red. Mm-hmm. But your love, besides engineering, which you're skilled at, your love is a music. You're trained as a musician and a performer.
Actually, I am. My life is music.
Yes, your life is music. And you play very different types of instruments. Only one we can see here, but you play many different stringed instruments that come from
Iran.
From Iran.
And they are all classical instruments from old Persia, which it is a very beautiful background. And many, many people are very proud of this background, of this classical Iranian music.
Mm-hmm.
And my music is based on that, but for the whirling meditation. Whirling meditation. Yes.
Well, with people on this show, if you're listening to this show, first of all, if you've just tuned in, let me say, I'm Laurie Handlers, your host. You're listening to Tantra Cafe, and my guest tonight is Cirrus, who is a trained classical Persian musician. He plays strings and instruments, and he's famous, and he has many, many music. However, how we met is that he made the whirling music for Osho in the days of Osho in the Osho Ashram, and it just so happened that as I finally made my way to the Osho Ashram, whirling became my favorite of all the meditations. And we met really also by inner guidance. We met and we connected on whirling and on the music. Cirrus was so moved that whirling was my favorite thing, and I was so moved that he made that music. So I want to ask you I wanted to connect all these dots because you brought a lot of things. So a woman in red, in case you don't know this, in Osho times, and even now, if you're seeing me, because we're also videotaping this, I'm wearing red. And in the Osho ashram, you wear red or maroon. There have been times when people also wore orange. But today, in the ashram today, people pretty much wear maroon. So something like the color that I'm wearing or the colors that you see. So when he describes, when Sirius describes, there was a woman at his concert wearing a red dress, sitting right in the middle. She's wearing the red dress of the Osho colors. And that's, all of this is significant.
Are you feeling like you just don't get it? All this talk about sex and love, love and sex? Feeling like all people ever think about and talk about is sex? Maybe you are longing for a more spiritual sexual connection. Hey, maybe you are just totally confused about all of it. Lori Handler's new book, Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy, puts the innocence and love back into sex. And it gives Tantra the respect it truly deserves. In this book, you will discover a wonderful meditation on self-love. You will also find fun new ways to develop an intimacy with yourself, whether or not you have a partner. And now, for only $19.99, you can get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy. Right now, go to www.sexandhappiness.com. and order your copy. Give yourself the gift.
That's sexandhappiness.com.
Are you someone who's looking for more pleasure in your life and you've never heard of East Garden? East Garden is a comfortable and elegant environment for women to explore the tools of pleasure and other educational materials. These materials enhance mind, body, and spirit. Eve's Garden encourages women to take responsibility for their own sexuality and clearly understand that bodily pleasure and spiritual joy are one and the same. While in New York City, you can visit the store at 119 West 57th Street, Suite 1201. And now, for a limited time, you can get a 15% discount on everything in stock if you go through evesgarden.com/tantracafe. Go there now.
Well, we're back from the break, and thank you for staying tuned. You're listening to Tantra Cafe, a program for spiritual enlightenment. I'm Lori Handler, your host, and my guest this evening is Sirius, who is a musician, who is somebody who lives the Osho lifestyle, somebody who's been living it for quite some time. So, Sirius, we left off where you... Well, a couple of places. One was that you were in bed for 6 weeks after doing the dynamic meditation. We didn't really tell them what the Kundalini and the dynamic meditations are, so we'll say a little something about that. And then I want to know how you went from, you had a wife and daughter, and then you were having this affair with a woman in red, and she brought you to the Osho ashram. So we'll just backtrack for a second, and I'll just tell the listeners my understanding of these meditations because I do them. So the most famous and popular of the Osho meditations is something called Dynamic, and then the next most famous and popular is Kundalini. I'm not going to tell you right now exactly how to do them, because if you're listening to the show and you want to know how to do them, there's a lot of ways you can find out. You can just type in Osho, O-S-H-O, on Google, and that will bring you to Osho.com, and there's recordings. You can go to OshoWorld.com and find recordings of these meditations, some of which the music is Sirius's music. And on all of them, they give you directions on how to do it, but mostly just know that they're all active. None of them are just sit down and try to visualize your life being really peaceful. They're active in that they make you make noise and move and dance before stillness. Osho really believed that people these days are unable to just sit still. And they can't sit still until they move, until they express. And so the meditations are often noisy, and very often they're very active. as Cyrus described, he was doing this who part of the dynamic. He was jumping up and down and going, who. And then for 6 weeks after that, he ended up on his back because he was making a disturbance in his disc and the nerves. So anyway, now we come back to how, okay, so you had to bridge this huge gap. You had a wife, you had a daughter. She was 8 years old at the time. And you had this woman who brought you to the Osho Ashram. How did you put this all together? How did you get there, finally?
You know, in that point, that's... I was married because of my daughter. We were married because of our daughter, because of the society. Because then I had feeling of guilt,
yes,
that I cannot just leave the woman alone. Now she says I'm pregnant. So I said yes in that time to that situation. But actually we didn't love each other anymore.
Mm. And you said in the beginning of you had everything and you weren't happy.
Yeah, but I had not a wife that I can love, the wife.
Mm.
I was, because of this society in this small family. And in that point that I was lying down like a dead man, one day my daughter, who was knowing that I am going to this ashram, she brought one day a book of Osho to my place where I was lying. And this was a book from a journalist who wrote his story and his knowing Osho. He stayed long time in Osho commune and he wrote a book. And I was reading that book. After I had that experience in this meditation,
mm-hmm,
then this book came in my hand because of my daughter. My daughter brought that book. And in this book, it says, whatsoever you are suffering about, you did yourself. That is your own creation. If you want to finish with it, it will be also your creation. Start to create a new situation for you. And after I read that book one time, I could move myself a little bit. Then, after 6 weeks, they fired me from the company I was working, because 6 weeks I didn't...
That's a long time out of work, yeah.
Then my wife came in the room with this letter in the hand from my company and crying, what are we going now to do? And in that very moment, the decision came to me. And I said, very easy, I said, we sell the house, I get a flat for you and my daughter, and I start a new life. Because this life, if I stay with it, I have to lie down, I have to die. I don't want to die now.
I want to live.
And that was also the case. I did all this stuff. I brought them to her. I sold very, very soon. Somebody came and bought the house. I paid the that credit I had from the bank. I paid it back. Then I was suddenly free. And for the first time, I could again play music.
That's beautiful. That's really beautiful. So did you write then you moved into the commune? You moved down the block into the commune?
No, first I went to the commune and I was not yet sannyasin. In that time it was a condition that you have to do for a certain time dynamic meditation. Mm. And after that you ask for getting sannyasin or name or initiation.
Yes, it's more than just a name.
No, it is not only that. It is an initiation. It is really right. a step in a really something unknown. And I was working in the kitchen of the ashram. I was cooking for people there.
And you were doing dynamic meditation?
I was doing dynamic meditation every day and playing music in music group for the satsangs and all this stuff. It was new in my life. I was just having a new life.
Yeah, and happy.
Happy, very happy.
And very, very, very happy.
Yes.
So let's jump ahead a little bit. How many years did you spend in the commune?
So first...
In the German commune.
I was about years after the beginning. The beginning was in the beginning of 80s. I took sannyas.
Okay.
And then I built a group, music group, mm-hmm. and we start to go around whole Europe and all Osho communes and give concerts. And our communes, our group's name was Dancing Butterfly.
I love it. That's my butterfly workshops. Is the name
of
my
Osho
company.
Loves it also because we send a copy to Osho and. It was just blessing that we got a letter from his secretary. And his blessing is always with me. Mm. I feel it always.
Yeah. Well, it seems destined. I mean, that the thing was right. Listen, it doesn't get any better than the places on your corner. You know what I mean? It's like just... like. It was an easy, doesn't sound like such an easy step, but actually it's kind of an easy step. You made a very good transition from one lifestyle to a completely other. So in the 80s and you took sannyas, and for anyone listening, taking sannyas means you choose. You say, I'm going to commit to being in this life. I'm going to commit to being, and when Osho describes his sannyasins, he talks about people living free. People living without being governed necessarily by the laws of government, people living free of the laws of religion, people living free of the bonds that make people sheep, I guess. He talks about being free like a butterfly or being free to fly. And dance and celebrate. Osho's biggest thing, really, if anyone says what's the key thing about Osho, it's celebration, celebrating life.
Exactly.
So I want to, you know, ask you, so did you finally meet Osho? You know, at what point did you were in the German commune and he gave you the blessings, but when did you actually meet him?
He was in that time in America, and he was not talking in that time.
Right, he was in silence for a long time.
But the community in America was growing and growing, and everybody was telling to me, you have to go and see Osho there. And I said, I have no money. They fired me. I cannot go. And they said, if you want to go, the money is no problem, will come. I said, how? As I was talking about this with somebody in a cafe, it was a sannyas cafe.
Yes.
And behind me another sannyasi says, you want to go to see Osho? I said, yes. He said, I give you the money, but you have to give me in 3 months again back. I said, no problem. And it was the point that suddenly I could go, see Osho, and being in that atmosphere of these 20,000 people coming from all over the world, you look at faces, suddenly you think you know this guy or this woman. Very great experience, very great experience.
So you went to Oregon?
Yes, I went
to the ranch.
Two times.
In Antelope. Now, what happened to the woman in red? You know, the original dancing, the original theater group girl. What happened to her?
We were a long time still friends.
Yeah.
And with me she came, she was interested in, to learn some Iranian music, so she started to learn some percussion music from a master, a friend of me in that time in Berlin. And like many other people, you go out of the
site. Yeah, you go in, you go out. Okay. I just wanted to know.
Yeah.
So, okay, so you went to Antelope twice, you went to the ranch, to the Osho ranch, and now, you know, at that time, Osho was very controversial in the United States. The biggest thing anybody heard about was that he had 90 Rolls Royces.
Mm.
And then the second thing they heard was that he had diamond wristwatches. Mm. That was all the American press could cover about Osho, the Rolls Royces, the watches. But there was so much more going on. And my understanding was that people gave him these things because he was setting people free.
Yeah.
And they just gave him money and cars and whatever they had.
You
they
know,
would do anything.
The main story for me, I discovered why this Osho went to America. For what? My understanding is he went to encounter the world. Encountering the world is possible only in America.
Yes.
That you go and you challenge people. Getting so many things, materials.
That would be right in the face of Americans.
Exactly.
That would be robbing capitalism.
And he wanted to show also people are suddenly stopping in that point. They cannot go deeper to see what this man is doing.
Right.
They stopped just at Rolls Royce, but he wanted to show that.
That's all the press talked about. Every show he was interviewed on, 60 Minutes, he was interviewed on Larry King, I think. Every show was just like Rolls Royces, Rolls Royces. So my understanding of everything I've read, because, you know, I didn't have the experience. I wasn't ready yet to have the experience, but I'll talk about that because my father was into Osho. But I'll come back to that in a minute. My knowledge of it just tells me that he was trying to shove literally in the face of Americans their greed, their avarice, their jealousy, they couldn't stand for someone to have it that good. They just because they got stopped at that, this guy has 90 Rolls Royces, they couldn't, you're right, they couldn't look to see what the message was. And then the fact that people were living so freely in these communes, people could have as much sex as they wanted. I mean, let's be real about it. That scares hell out of most civilized and domesticated people. So, and people could dance all they wanted, and people were rich. People who were going to some very rich international people from everywhere were going to.
Of course.
So you could have anything you want, and that just doesn't fly in the face of people who live by government, and people who live by religion, people who think that they have to work really hard, and people who think they have to pray very hard. Whatever the confines are of human beings who live in some kind of civilization, this was different. This was like, you can have it all.
No, the story was, for me, was suddenly somebody was there who is pointing to my responsibility.
Good.
He is not pointing to come and follow me. See, he's not pointing that this is the dogma I am bringing you, you are allowed to do this, you are not allowed to do that. He says, none of that. He says, find the master in yourself. Become your own master, and you can tell to yourself what is good for you, what is not good for you.
Yeah.
This is his teaching. Such yeah. Such a brilliant teaching. He says, who am I to tell you what is good for you, what is not good for you? Why should I do it? He says.
Right.
It is your responsibility to find out what is good for you, what is not good for you. And in that very moment I saw that he is different.
Totally.
He
Nobody
is different.
Was speaking that. Nobody was speaking that.
And the way he was supporting the woman, no man in the whole history of life did that, supporting so much the woman.
Yes. Well, and he made women in charge of everything around him. He said he was not going to be a stupid man. He's going to be a smart man and put women in charge.
And that's the truth.
Yes. Yes. So this is amazing. It's revolutionary in a different way.
Yes.
You came from a country that was having revolution, and you joined a different revolution.
I am still in revolution.
Yes, you are still in revolution. It's excellent, really excellent. So I'm just going to stop for a second and give us time for a break. So if you just tuned in, you are listening to Tantra Cafe on bbsradio.com. Tantra Cafe is a program for spiritual enlightenment, and I'm your host, Laurie Hamlers, and I have the amazing privilege of this evening interviewing Cirrus. And we're sitting together right here in Goa. It just doesn't get any better than that. So I'd like to take a break now, and we'll be right back. And when we come back, you're going to hear some of Cirrus's music. So please stay tuned. We'll be back with you momentarily.
If you want financial advice on how to plan for the future, I know exactly who you should call. My friend Jeff DeLone. Jeff's worked with over 300 individuals, professionals, and corporations in the past 20 years. He helps clients develop strategies for estate planning, investments, and retirement. Jeff DeLone is located in Newtown Square, Pennsylvania. But wherever you are in the United States, you can reach Jeff at 610-356-1254. Or you can email him at jdelone@deloanefinancialgroup.com. That's jdelone@deloanefinancialgroup.com.
Securities and investment advisory services are offered through FSC Securities Corporation, member FINRA SIPC. Jeff DeLone is a registered representative with FSC Securities Corporation. DeLone Financial Group is not.
Thank you.
You've just been listening to a piece of music by Cirrus, one of my favorite pieces, which has to do with whirling. The name of the piece is Dancing Dervish, and it's on Cirrus's Caravan CD. So we're back, and I want to talk a little bit about, really personally, because it's been years now. You took sannyas in the 80s, now it's in the 2000s, or in 2008 at the moment, and you're still living this. So if you were to, there's two things. One is I want to, again, you just gave us before the break what Osho's message was, which is that you're responsible for choosing in your life. If you want to be free, you want to be free. If you want to suffer, you know, you can create whatever life you want to have, and you're responsible. He's not trying to tell you what to do. He's showing you how to set yourself free. If you were to take anything that he said to you over the time, you know, like a particular quote or something he said to you personally that just shifted you, what would that be? Please share with us, because that's the precious personal parts to you.
What's very important is the thankfulness, which is one of the first teachings, that we have not to take everything for granted, whatsoever we are becoming from this existence. We have food, we have car, we have this, we have that, we can fly, we can do that, we can do this. And if we take that for granted and not to be thankful about, then something is missing. Thankfulness is, for me, communication with the existence, because I am getting everything from the existence. Water coming from the existence. Air is coming from the existence. And his teaching is focusing on you. It is not focusing out of me. I have something that the existence or God has given to me. And this is enough to decide for my life what I have myself. I don't need anything from outside. Mm. This is his teaching.
Yes.
And I'm following that, because I am finding more and more and every day more what I have in me, what I can discover in me. I think that is his teaching.
Mm. And it's made a huge difference with you, because not only did you move into the commune and then go to America and then continue to live this life, but you met your life's partner through this work.
Many of them, not only one.
Well, I know one, you know.
I mean, this was also Osho's guidance for me, that he never said you have to be only with one woman. He said, you go and try to be as many as you can, and you can gather your experience. And at the end, you are not longing for that.
Right.
If the longing, if this thirst is not going to be fulfilled, then you are always thirsty. You want always to go, even you marry 20 years, you are not satisfied with the life.
No.
So, I was living 8 years in a commune, just single, free and single, and having every weekend with another woman. And it was a big present from the existence, because every woman is a new world. In every woman I could find another Cirrus, another me.
Yeah.
And it was, And after that, then it comes the point that I was ready to be with only one woman. Then I was happy to be only with one woman.
Right, because it came from abundance rather than from
exactly
from lack. So you had plenty of women and then you selected.
Then existence suddenly gave me the woman, really I am lucky with her.
Yeah, she's so lovely, your partner.
Yeah.
Shantana.
Shantana. Shantana means the total peace, something like that. It's peace. And she is really bringing always the peace to everybody.
She is. She's amazing.
I'm very, very thankful.
So your partner, and then you and your partner came to India. Now, did you come to India to be in the Osho Ashram in Pune? What brought you to India?
One of the things that brought me to India is to be close to this tradition, Osho, mm-hmm. and Osho's people.
Yes.
And in one point, I wanted to be on my own with my ashram. And this was also the idea of my partner. So, we had a vision to have a place where people can come and meet, have a nice atmosphere, have a beautiful food and seeing other nice people and doing meditations and listening to music or learning some music. So, then this vision was connected with Osho's vision. And I think because of that we were successful. In short time we could really build this place. And now since 2 years we are here in Goa and ready to give this space for people who wants to make meditation or know more about Osho.
That's amazing. The space that we're sitting in. We are sitting in a meditation hall, which is dedicated to Osho, where you actually do Kundalini and dynamic meditations, and my favorite one, No Dimensions, may I add. And we, since I've been here this week, we've done 2 different Kundalini meditations, and different people have come each time. And soon the word is going to get out there that you're going to be putting on Osho discourses, DVDs of Osho speaking. And you'll have meditations and people will start coming from all over Goa and probably from the rest of the world, like me.
Sure.
And all of this is part of the vision that you could do really anything you want, and in gratitude and in love you've created this space.
So we are very, very thankful that we could do that and we could see that it is happening.
Yeah, and you're happy now.
I'm very happy now.
Yeah.
I'm very happy.
I mean, I imagine that anybody who's fulfilling their dreams and continuing to create their music, their meditations, their daily practices, whatever, has to now be happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's really amazing. Being with you is a total gift, really a total gift. Now, I just want to say, you know, too, I mentioned before about my father. You know, now my father in the 70s heard about Osho, but his name, again, I said, was Bhagwan Rajneesh. And my father got very excited about him. And he read everything he could find and he got discourses and whatever. And my mother said to my mother heard about what was happening in Pune. This is before Oregon, in Pune, and my mother said, if you go, I'm going to kill you, Marty. You are not going out there to Pune. So my father didn't go. My father was just like, he was a very obedient, even though he's not, but he does kind of live his own Osho lifestyle, but my mother was very threatened and he was not going to go. But his, my father's a dentist and his receptionist heard about it from my father. She was Swiss, and she went to Pune and never came back. I think she was in Pune for like 30 years. And so all the time, she sent books, and she sent tapes, She sent every kind of thing. So my house was filled with Osho, even though I was not ready. I thought it was too weird and crazy, and I just wasn't ready. And now, it's funny because I teach Tantra. I have this show, Tantra Cafe, and pretty much, with very few exceptions, the only book I want to pick up now is a book by Osho. Any book. Doesn't matter which book.
That's true.
It doesn't matter which place you open the, I open the book to. Any page I open the book to is the right page.
Yeah.
Yeah?
That's true. That's true.
It's amazing.
The same with me. Yeah.
I don't want to, I don't want to hear what anybody else has to say mostly. Because most people are talking a bunch of crap, and Osho's messages are so relevant to every moment, no matter what year it is. You know, no matter what phase of my life I'm in, it's just amazing stuff, no matter what I pick up. So I feel blessed that my father brought this into my life, and now it's in my life, even though I didn't know Osho. So I feel, you know, a little jealous of you.
This is okay. This is human. No problem.
So if we were to, you know, if we were to gift the listeners, like we were to give them something. Oh, I know. It's along these lines. The first time I was in the ashram, I was listening to a discourse, and he said these things. He said three things. And I say this often in my classes. He said, go, and I said it tonight to somebody that was here doing meditation with us. Go so totally into your fear that you come out the other side, love. Go so totally into your anger that you come out the other side, compassion. Go so totally into your sex that you come out the other side, samadhi. No desire. Filled. And then not yearning or longing. Just what you were saying. So for me, that's those three things. Like hearing that. I was already doing that on my path. But hearing him say that was so wonderful. And so if for the listeners, since they can't call in tonight, we're recording. If you were to say, you know, a phrase or give them, you know, a gift to go, like whatever it might be, what thing stands in your mind that he said to you or that made a difference, something you read by him, anything?
You know, he is giving you not advice, but a phrase is something from another master which was 1,000 years ago. And this master tells to you, this too will pass. There's a big meaning in it. But if it becomes my life's style, whatsoever happened in my life, it's happiness or sadness, both of them, this will too pass. It means acceptance of happiness, and the same with not happiness. Because life is not only happiness. A lot of non-happiness is beside it, that sometimes you have some happiness.
Right.
Then be happy that you have sometimes happiness. This too will pass. It was something that I remember always if I am in a difficulty. Then I say to myself, this too will pass. Just stay with it. Just have some patience. The pain is going to be over.
Yes.
And I have to remember also, if I am very happy in my life, I have got millions now, and I am very happy, like people think about that, this too will pass. And that is for me the message.
Yeah.
Because everything is momentary, moment to moment life. The past is gone, never come back. Future is not there. Now, here and now. This is his message.
Yeah.
Live in here and now, then you are here and now.
That's beautiful. So that's really the tantra to go for today.
Yes.
That's like the takeout message. So just in summarizing, you know, I feel almost like, you know, when I sit with you and I hear everywhere where there's Osho groups and everywhere where there's, you know, groups of people doing these meditations, I know he had thousands and thousands, maybe even millions of sannyasins and followers in the day. And now I feel like the world is more ready for the message than ever. Like, there's more people every day. There's young people, new people coming to this ashram in Pune, and there's people like the people tonight who are from Sweden who just go drive somewhere and they go and they do all the meditations. I mean, would you agree that there's more people maybe now than ever, like, bringing Osho into their life?
You know, many people has discovered that this superficial life is not life. It is coming more and more up that many people discover that they change their attitude to running after money, just stopping a little bit and coming back to themselves. And now the world is offering a lot of that directions for this happening of people, because the merge is there.
Yeah.
And because maybe more than ever is there this longing of people, because they are not happy with whatsoever now happening in the world.
Yeah, they've made it and they're not happy.
Yeah.
Or they haven't made it and they're not happy.
Yeah.
So
this,
you think that's the driving?
Because it has to come from every individual, this longing. It is not something that you can call the masses and tell something to them, do this and do that. It is not a recipe. It has to come from your inside that you have the longing to know yourself.
Yes. Oh, I think more people have that now than ever.
I have.
And they think they want to get out of some prescribed ways of doing.
Yeah.
So, well, it's my experience that there, Osho is more alive now in a whole other way, and more accepted now in a whole other way. People don't talk about the Rolls Royces anymore. They talk about dynamic.
Because the Rolls Royces has become nothing.
Right.
It has no value.
And no meaning.
But he has still such a value.
Yeah.
There is no item that he has not talked about.
Yes.
There's something special. 36 years this man was going around everywhere talking to people. 2 hours in the morning, 3 hours in the afternoon. 36 years. There are more than 600 books about his talks.
Yeah, they say he's the most published author on the planet.
There is no matter he has not talked about. So, it is a great man in our life.
An enlightened being.
A great being.
Yeah.
I am so happy that I got to know him before I die.
Yeah.
Because dying without knowing such a people, what is life?
Yeah. Good. So on that note, we're gonna wrap up.
Yeah.
So if you were listening to this program, you have been listening to Tantra Cafe. I'm Laurie Handlers, your host. You've been listening to bbsradio.com. My guest tonight is Cirrus, and we are just having the best time here in Goa. Cirrus has at least 4 CDs that I know of, and maybe others. And you can find out more about him at my website, tantracafe.com. You can find out more about him at my Butterfly Workshops website. Soon we'll be doing some retreats here in Goa, so you'll find out plenty of things about him, and I just want to thank you. I'm grateful that you're listening to me. I'm grateful that you're listening to the show. I hope you found it very interesting. If you want to write to me and ask me anything about Sirius or any of my other shows, any of my other guests, you can write to me at Laurie@butterflyworkshops.com. And thank you again. Thank you so much for listening. I hope this show has brought you a little bit more enlightenment. And I'm going to say namaste from Tantra Cafe.